This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Well, good morning, America. This is Gun Owners News Hour. In Chicago, they had a presidential visit. Mayor Lori Lightfoot. She took this opportunity as Chicago's erupting in violence right now. I mean, it's worse than it's ever been. She blames it on guns, of course. Has nothing to do with the criminals or the policies or any of the other things that they have in place. It's only about the guns. The guns do it all. The guns get up and walk down the streets. The guns shoot people. By themselves, no human interface. She used the occasion of Joe Biden's trip to Illinois to press the president on common sense gun control, as the city's violent crime rate has been soaring in recent weeks after an already turbulent 2020. And it turns out Lightfoot only spoke with Biden for a couple of moments before the president entered Marine One and flew off to an event promoting infrastructure in Crystal Lake, Illinois. But she did get her photo op, which was really what this was all about. See, Lori likes her photo ops. And it's not Biden, after all this preventing gun control legislation from passing in Congress. It's the fact that it can't get 60 votes in the Senate, and the Democrats can't get 50 votes to kill the filibuster. And when it comes to Biden's executive actions, it's hard to believe that Lightfoot could find much to complain about. He's already trying to broadline, or, you know, how would we put this? He's going to try to redefine firearms regulations to allow for backdoor gun bans of home-built guns, AR-style pistols without a vote in Congress, and he's trying to install a committed gun control activist as the head of the ATF. And Biden's not Lightfoot's problem. Her problem is her own incompetence. And rather than acknowledge that her way is failing to make the city a safe place, she's doubling down on her scapegoating of gun owners in the Second Amendment. She said it makes no sense that we have a no-fly list of people who are too dangerous to get on a plane, but yet they can purchase firearms. See, my view of what a politician should be is miles away from what they actually are. I think a politician should be a problem solver. I think if a politician comes in and takes office, that their very first thing they should be trying to do is solve the problems that their jurisdiction, that their district, their city, whatever it is that they've been elected to serve in, that's what they should be doing. If they're on a national level, they should be working to move the chains in whichever way their constituents want it to go. Sometimes that means national politicians, we're basically consigning ourselves to them being failures most of the time, or to them doing nothing. Because in the House, they're 1 in 435. In the Senate, they're 1 in 100. They may get a little bit of influence. They may become pretty good at fundraising. But at the end of the day, that means nothing. That means nothing. So, this mayor, who could actually go and, the mayor could go to the prosecutor, who probably was funded by Soros, and say, let's not let anyone out of jail for committing a gun crime. Let's not have the revolving door, which the Chicago police would tell you is what they have. But I guess the lack of the no-fly, no-buy list is really what's hampering the mayor's efforts to stop people in Chicago from shooting one another. Never mind the fact that Illinois law starts from the position that no one is allowed to own a gun. I mean, that's where it basically starts. In order to exercise your privilege of gun ownership, you have to obtain a FOID card, the Firearms Owner ID card, from the Illinois State Police, which at this moment is taking about 7 months on average to issue one. And for some odd reason, though, the vast majority of people responsible for Chicago's shootings and slayings don't have FOID cards. I'm almost certain of that. They're not playing by those rules. And the fact that Lightfoot would now declare that the solution to Chicago's crime is to empower the government to prohibit the exercise of a fundamental right even without an arrest, conviction, or even the suspicion of a crime is all I need to know that this mayor is in over her head. I'm not a resident of Chicago, but if I were, I'd be leading the campaign for Mayor Lori Lightfoot to resign. This insistence that she has that gun control is the answer to Chicago shootings is an insult to people's civil rights, and her eagerness to blame everyone from gun stores in Indiana to the court system in Cook County is only adding to the danger for residents. Now, it's going to be interesting in education. We'll watch what happens when Eric Adams becomes mayor of New York City. Because you're going to have a former police captain in place. He's already said he's going to carry a gun when he's in there. He's also in good with the realtors and the real estate developers. The other thing is that he's not a leftist. He's a Democrat, but he's not a leftist, which is going to be interesting to watch. I don't remember seeing one of these guys perform in quite some time. But he's going to be able to resist a lot of things for a lot of reasons. So we'll see how a mayor could actually attack this, because we got a new one coming in. Back to Chicago, though. There are strategies that Lightfoot could put in place tomorrow that would reduce homicides and shootings. In fact, there are strategies that Chicago successfully used in the past that could be rolled out again, like Operation Ceasefire. That helped reduce murders by more than 25% in the city. And as the Justice Department explains, the program involves local, state, and federal resources working in cooperation with one another to target the most violent and prolific offenders in any given community, and to give them a choice: stop shooting and let us help you, or don't, and we'll make us send you to prison for as long as we can possibly do that. Going after the people actually committing the crimes. What a Nobel approach. The five basic components of this are analyzing the dynamics of the local violence in the city. They're going to collect it, they're going to put it together, and then they'd be put with a working group to figure out what to do. Then they organize a working group that will design and implement the local strategy. These are all based upon the uniqueness of the situation on the ground. They get representation from public and private employment training, the district attorneys, the police, you know. Then they communicate directly with the gang members and youth most likely to commit gun violence. You have to go out and take it to them. And you're giving them a choice. Given reformation versus incarceration, we should try to reform if it can actually stick. They communicate with them at meetings known as call-ins or forums. And they get told that the gun violence has to stop immediately or criminal justice will intervene quickly and forcefully against those responsible. And they also get told, but we're here to support you. We're going to help you with this. Then you have to connect gang members and young people to employment opportunities. Nothing can exist in a vacuum like that. You have to build a strategic law enforcement partnership. No new gun control laws needed in this approach. No defunding of the police either. But when implemented successfully, it tends to lead to fewer overall arrests, even while dramatically improving public safety. And that's something that everybody on both sides could agree on. But I haven't heard Lori Lightfoot mention this strategy. She'd rather point her finger at gun owners. And I've got a finger that I'm pointing right back at you, Lori. Figure out which one it is. What happens in your city is your responsibility, Madam Mayor. It stops with you. And if you weren't such an anti-gun ideologue, you'd recognize that the most effective public safety strategy involves around focusing like a laser on about 12,000 residents in your city and not on taking pot shots at all of these law-abiding gun owners who haven't done anything wrong, and at those inanimate objects that have no moral compass whatsoever. You could be doing that, but you're not. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Franklin Armory makes top quality AR-style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word lock and load at franklinarmory.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Welcome back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. Coming out of New York State. They're going to try the next approach. They're coming up with the next approach. They put in place a new nuisance law. And this is in order to try to hold gun makers responsible for any gun used in a crime. And the question is being asked, which I think I already know the answer to this, but this could this bring an end to the gun industry's immunity from civil lawsuits? New York wants to test that. So state lawmakers recently they're under a whole new emergency now, just like they had during the SAFE Act. New gun violence emergency. So they recently amended New York's public nuisance statute to specifically include marketing and sales practices that contribute to gun crimes, which simply by the, you know, let me just say that again. They're going to specifically include marketing and sales practices that contribute to gun crimes. Now, I do ad campaigns for gun companies on a regular basis. Every time I do a radio show, I'm doing those. And I never get out there and go, hey, gangbangers, are you tired of not having enough firepower when you hold up that elderly couple? Now, that would be something that they could target, because I'm talking directly to the gangbangers. Getting out there and saying, this gun fires every time you pull the trigger. That's not a marketing ploy that aids gun violence. He signed this bill July the 6th, by the way, so he declared gun violence a disaster emergency that time. So, I've been looking at lawsuits against the gun industry as long as I've been doing this, and while I believe New York's law is certain to unleash a new round of lawsuits against gun makers, they're going to be facing some hurdles that they have to jump through a hoop as they go over the hurdle that's going to be on fire. And even if the litigation succeeds, effectively ending the gun industry's immunity from liability, well, it's not going to do anything at all to stop gun violence. And this is where we need to start drawing the line on some of these things. It should be a very strict scrutiny on this. If it's not actually going to do something to stop lawlessness, we shouldn't be allowing these guys to pass any of these laws. Now, defining illegal gun use as a public nuisance, states routinely use public nuisance laws to regulate conduct that unreasonably interferes with the health and safety of others. Common examples include the polluting of the air or the water, obstructing roadways, or making obsessive noise. Now, New York's amended statute holds that gun manufacturers and sellers responsible for the public nuisance of illegal gun use if they fail to implement reasonable controls to prevent the unlawful sale, possession, or use of firearms within the state. Now, see, this is why it's a good thing I'm not in charge of nothing, because at this particular moment, if this were the case, I would say, let's pull all of our operations out and we're not going to allow any of our guns to be sold in New York State. If I were every gun manufacturer out there, I would do that. And then they've got to prove that these gun, first of all, a gun company, none of these gun companies actually sell guns. They sell to distributors. Distributors sell to gun shops. Gun shops sell to you. Some of them you can order direct from, but for the most part, you know, it's a much smaller operation than their dealer network. Now, the law specifies that reasonable controls include implementing programs to secure inventory from theft and prevent illegal retail sales. Well, the gun industry is already the most regulated industry of its type, or any type, in the United States today. Under the law, both public officials and private citizens can file lawsuits seeking money damages and a court injunction to compel offending parties to stop the nuisance. So, if a gun manufacturer who sold weapons that were subsequently used in crimes could be held liable if it failed to take reasonable measures to ensure that retail dealers did not engage in illegal sales practices. But there's a layer between the dealers, the actual dealers, and the gun makers. Now, the PLCAA has had an immunity. This has been the immunity shield for them. Suing the firearms industry for gun violence under the theory of public nuisance is nothing new. Individual gun violence victims and civic organizations like the NAACP and big city mayors started filing these lawsuits in the 90s. But Congress put an end to this litigation in 2005 when they passed the Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act, which granted gun sellers, including manufacturers, immunity from liability arising out of criminal misuse of the weapons they sold. Criminal misuse. Immunity under the Act is not absolute. Notably, a seller is not immune from liability if it knowingly violates a state or federal statute applicable to the sale or marketing of firearms. And consequently, following the passage of the act, plaintiffs argued that gun makers' marketing, distribution, and sales practices constituted a public nuisance in violation of state statutes. But federal appellate courts in New York and California rejected this argument. Those courts held that public nuisance laws did not qualify for the exception to immunity because they were not specifically aimed at regulating firearms. So New York's decided to do that. They've decided to specifically aim at firearms. So they updated their statute. They're hoping to prompt civil litigation that will bring pressure on the industry to prevent the diversion of guns into the black market and the hands of illegal gun traffickers. There's only so many ways you could do that. And they would all be very extreme. And they would all involve going down and hunting people and killing. That's, you think I'm not serious. I'm not using any sort of hyperbole here. There is no way to prevent the black market. There isn't. As long as there's prohibited areas, there will be a black market. So before the federal immunity law, the industry faced a rising tide of litigation. And new lawsuits will face multiple challenges, which I believe will likely reach all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And here's two prominent ones to think about. First, gun industry defendants will argue that New York's amended public nuisance statute is an attempt to subvert the purpose of the 2005 law, which was passed specifically to halt these types of claims against gun sellers in the 90s and the early 2000s. The opening section of the immunity law denounces this litigation as an abuse of the legal system. New York's claim to utilize a narrow exception to gun industry immunity looks like an awful lot like an attempt to eliminate immunity altogether. At the same time, the letter of the law allows claims arising out of the violation of any statute that specifically applies to the sale of firearms, which is exactly what the amended public nuisance law does. For the Supreme Court, these contending views would pit the conservative majority's strong allegiance to gun rights against its insistence on sticking to the letter of law when reading statutes. Second, gun industry advocates will argue that the Second Amendment limits any type of litigation likely to restrict access to the lawful purchase of guns. And, the individual right is established. So, the impact on reducing gun violence will not be anything measurable. If anything, it won't be statistically there. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernards. U.S. health officials say that when schools begin, vaccinated teachers and students don't need to wear masks inside school buildings. Aaron Sauber-Schatz of the CDC.
We've done a reevaluation of the science, and the science has showed us that we know what works to help keep schools safe and open. So anyone who's fully vaccinated, they don't need to mask indoors. They don't need to physical distance.
The San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus is facing a wave of backlash after offering up what is described as ironic humor about fears surrounding children and the gay agenda. The backlash came after the chorus posted a video in which members sang about indoctrinating children into being more concerned about fairness and justice. This is USA Radio News. A Louisiana police officer died in a hospital Friday night after suffering a gunshot wound to the head during a confrontation with a suspect near a local high school, according to reports. Officer William Billy Collins worked part-time for the force in Doyline, a village in Webster Parish that is located about 22 miles east of Shreveport in the northwest corner of the state. The suspect was transported to a hospital with life-threatening injuries, KSLA-TV reported.
Nuria, N-U-R-R-A-Y-A.
That is correct!
Zyla Avant-Garde became the first African-American winner in the 93-year history of the Scripps National Spelling Bee. She twirled and leaped after spelling the winning word, Moriah, a genus of tropical Asiatic and Australian trees. This is USA Radio News.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
That's just no good. This is Gun Owners News Hour. Now, the gun industry is watching what New York is doing with a great deal of interest. And they're vowing a legal challenge to this new law. And the NSSF has talked a little bit about what they intend to do. Now, despite the claims by Cuomo and New York Attorney General Letitia James that the new law will be upheld, NSSF says it's clear that what the law is doing is clearly in conflict with the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, which is setting up quite an interesting argument, given a few other things, but we're not going to get into that at the moment. The 2005 law was approved by a bipartisan vote in Congress in 2005 and prohibits lawsuits against the firearms industry, seeking to blame them for the actions of criminals. And this is the thing. They want to blame, and this, as far as consumer goods would be concerned, this would be opening up a Pandora's box, because criminals misuse a lot of different supersized guns. Now, Andrew Cuomo himself helped birth the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act thanks to his embrace of using junk lawsuits to bankrupt the gun industry when he was HUD Secretary during the Clinton administration. He knew that those didn't have to lead to courtroom victories for anti-gun activists in order to be successful. He called this a death by a thousand cuts for the firearms industry, slowly bleeding dry both the gun makers and the gun sellers, by forcing them to hire attorneys and pay legal fees and litigation that would eventually be tossed out by the courts, but not before first emptying out the bank account and draining the capital of those companies. The other option would be to settle with those initiating the lawsuits and agree to a host of demands. That is a very perilous pathway to take. Because Smith & Wesson did it in 2000, acquiescing to a host of demands that gun control groups are still trying to turn into federal law. So, the Clinton White House described the provisions of the settlement. Locking devices. Safety locking devices will be required for handguns and pistols, external locking devices within 60 days, and internal locking devices within 24 months. Smart guns, 2% of annual firearms revenues, will be dedicated to the development of unauthorized user technology that can limit a gun's use to the proper owner. Large capacity magazines. New firearms will not be able to accept ammunition magazines with a capacity of over 10 rounds. The manufacture of such magazines has been prohibited since 1994. This, of course, was during the assault weapon ban. Safety testing and standards. All firearms are to be tested by ATF to ensure that they meet performance and safety standards, such as drop tests. Other safety devices. Within 1 year, all pistols will have a chamber load indicator to show that a pistol is loaded to prevent accidents, and a magazine disconnector will be available to customers within 12 months. A magazine disconnector means if you drop the magazine, the gun won't fire. New sales and distribution controls to help keep guns out of the hands of criminals and help law enforcement crack down on illegal gun traffickers. Under that deal, manufacturers will agree to sell only to authorized dealers and distributors who agree to a code of conduct. The code of conduct imposes new requirements on authorized dealers and distributors. Which I kind of thought they already had. It wasn't so much a code of conduct as a bunch of rules by the ATF. Cutting off dealers with disproportionate crime guns. Now, see, this would be interesting because this means that in regions where you had, back in 2000, of course, you know, Chicago was a gun desert for the most part. So in these areas where you had crime guns, guns used in crime, then under this agreement, the manufacturer would take action against the dealers or distributors who sell disproportionate numbers of guns that turn up in crimes within 3 years of sale, including termination or suspension against the dealer or distributor. Gun shows. Authorized dealers cannot sell at gun shows unless every seller at the gun show conducts background checks, which was not required by law. That wasn't required by law at the time. This was just a new rule. This was a new rule to try to settle a case that Smith & Wesson was involved in. Ballistics testing. To help law enforcement trace guns used in crime when only the bullet or casing is recovered, ballistics fingerprints will be provided to all new firearms to ATF FBI. Safety training for purchasers. No sales will be made to dealers who do not require gun purchasers to demonstrate they can safely handle and store the gun. Theft prevention. No sales will be made to dealers who do not implement a security plan to prevent gun theft. Weapons attractive to criminals. Authorized dealers and distributors will not sell large capacity ammunition magazines or semi-automatic assault weapons. Restrictions on multiple handgun sales. To deter illegal gun trafficking, dealers must agree to new limits on multiple handgun sales. All purchasers of multiple handguns can only take one handgun from the day of sale, the remainder 14 days later. Elliot Spitzer, who was the New York Attorney General at the time Cuomo was at HUD, was equally as enamored of the strategy, allegedly warning a Glock executive that unless they follow Smith & Wesson's lead, your bankruptcy lawyers will be knocking at your door. Now, Smith & Wesson thought they were doing something to go along to get along. And they nearly went bankrupt. Thanks to the consumer hostility towards the company's leadership, signing off on the agreement, and the brand was ultimately sold to new management a few years later. There is no dealing with these people. There's no appeasing them. None. I don't think there's any that are delusional enough to believe that they can keep the support of the Second Amendment supporter while bending their knee to the gun control lobby, which tells me that New York's current move is more about putting the firearms industry out of business than reaching any sort of agreement. Besides, they're trying to get longtime anti-gun activist David Chipman confirmed as ATF director. So why try to broker a settlement when you've got your man at the top of the agency overseeing the entire firearms industry? New York law is clearly just one of the many threats the firearm industry is facing. Now, NSSF is confident that their upcoming legal challenge will be able to overturn the law before Letitia James can wield it as a cudgel against gun makers and gun shops and firearms distributors, and ultimately the Second Amendment itself. I hope they're right. And that Cuomo's death by a thousand cuts strategy dies a quick death at the hands of the federal judiciary. The biggest issue here, the main impact of those lawsuits that they put in place, was to try to prevent theft and illegal sales by retailers. But since 2000, the gun industry implemented a program to prevent illegal straw purchases, suggesting manufacturers think they may be able to affect how retailers operate. And even still, little is known about whether this program has had any impact on gun violence rates. So that's why no one really knows if forcing gun manufacturers to work more closely supervising retailers will work. We'll see. We'll see how this goes. Now, there's a lot of, and we're going to talk about that in just a second here, but just using New York, since New York has decided to be the leader on this, there's a lot of ways to die in New York that have nothing to do with guns. And it's interesting that Andrew Cuomo has decided to come out and call this a public nuisance and health issue, considering his record on public health. That really interests me a great deal. We'll be right back with that. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Let's do it one more time, shall we? This is Gun Owners News Hour. Now, New York recently, this past week, the governor has issued this new executive order declaring a disaster emergency over gun violence in the state. He said, gun violence is a public health crisis and we must treat it like one. Cuomo saying anything about public health crises or how to handle them is laughable, given his colossal and deadly mismanagement of the Wuhan coronavirus in New York. But beyond that, declaring a public emergency over gun violence is a transparently partisan and anti-gun move aimed at getting gold stars from leftist Democrats who never rest in their attempt to undermine the rights of a law-abiding citizen. Now, if he was actually serious about reducing gun violence in New York, he'd invest in more policing, he would oppose bail reform, or other programs that put violent offenders back on the street. And that would just be the start, at the very least. But what Cuomo either doesn't understand or chooses to be ignorant of is the fact that an emergency declaration aimed at expanding government isn't going to keep criminals from using guns in the commission of their crimes. The nonsensical justification that the Democrats give for gun control has been well documented, no matter where you look, if it's a Second Amendment advocate. But what's most damning about Cuomo's decision to issue a First of the Nation disaster declaration about guns is that there are many things in New York more deadly than guns. Part of them having to do with his previous failures in leadership. So let's start with the baseline he has established, gun violence. Data on the number of New York residents who were killed by armed individuals, not really easy to come by from New York agencies due to different reporting standards and varying granularity of the numbers reported. But the CDC reports 804 firearm deaths in 2019, the most recent year for which data is listed. This gives New York a 3.9 per 100,000 residents firearm mortality rate. Actually not that bad. For those keeping track at home, only one other state in America has a lower rate, Massachusetts, with a rate of 3.4. So they're pretty low in New York. So while ignoring the root causes of increases in violence, like that's been ushered in by police defunding schemes and woke criminal justice reforms that have seen spiking violence in New York State and cities across the country, he's pretending that the other more deadly threats to his state's residents aren't as serious of crises. Like the New Yorkers who died after contracting the Wuhan coronavirus in the wake of another executive order from Governor Cuomo that placed COVID-positive patients in the state's nursing homes. A disaster of his own making, an unforced error. Current data from the New York Department of Health confirms at least 15,430 fatalities due to that in a year, in less than a year. So let's see, gun violence, 804. Wuhan virus, 15,430. This is where these numbers they've been using to up the ante start to work against them. So that's 14,626 more deaths amid COVID than a year of gun violence. Yet the only emergency order from Cuomo returning to nursing home residents was one that led to their endangerment. There's another area where New York fails to protect their residents. Drug abuse. Overdose deaths in New York claimed the lives of 3,617. Or 2,813 more than gun violence. The list goes on and on. Leading cause of death for New Yorkers, heart disease, killed 43,806. Cancer claimed 33,655 lives. The flu and pneumonia together killed 4,286 New Yorkers. More residents died in traffic accidents, 931, than were killed by armed assailants. Yeah, there's no emergency declaration to address traffic accidents. His decision to declare a disaster of a gun death is a little more than woke political posturing by a Democrat politician who, more than most, needs friendly coverage from the leftist media. The disaster declaration, without action to empower and invest in police and focus on keeping dangerous criminals behind bars, won't give Cuomo the reduction in violence that he allegedly seeks. Now we're going to take my eyes off of New York for a minute because I'm bored thinking about Cuomo. And I want to look at something else. I want to look at something that's happening out in L.A. In L.A., they have legalized recreational marijuana, or in California, rather. And, well, that's big business. A lot of money in legalized marijuana. And it's a little bit like, it reminds me a little bit of the Prohibition times that I wasn't alive for, but I've read about. But it's taking on sort of a sinister twist. Because in California, in L.A. County especially, the illegal grow house phenomenon is beginning. And there's all kinds of stuff happening in connection with this. Drivers have become more aggressive. Water is being stolen from farms. Some of the residents, close to a dozen, gathered on Tuesday to share their stories and to hear an update on law enforcement taking action against the drug-growing operations. They all wanted to remain anonymous out of fear of retaliation from the cartels because the cartels are operating in California. Representative Mike Garcia and L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva told the meeting that when they each did an air tour of the areas in North L.A., they realized it was as bad as the calls were saying. The problem has been persistent for a while, but it gained major steam within the last year. This tells me right now that they've already prioritized crime, and because marijuana has been legalized, they weren't taking this seriously. So these illegal grow houses, when they started, when they should have been shut down at the very beginning, now they've got momentum. And just to prove my point, Villanueva got out there and said, we did a survey way back in 2020. During the pandemic, 150 illegal grows, the ones you can count easily from the air. So when we did it again this year, that number grew to 500 in 1 year. So there was a noticeable shift in acceleration. And he added the illegal dispensaries are outnumbering the legal businesses 50-1. See, they've got on the, even with it being legalized, they have a black market going on there. Now, neighboring San Bernardino County, Villanueva said law enforcement there counted over 860 illegal marijuana farms when they conducted their own survey. So in June, they launched an operation to destroy the illegal pot farms and confiscate the plants. The operation lasted 10 days, and he said they were able to knock out around 40% of the known illegal farms. Around $1.2 billion in street value marijuana was seized, and over 90 firearms were confiscated. And he said that while they have the manpower, the will, and the plans to continue combating the illegal grow operations, the constant issue is funding. As in, that would happen even without defunding. The increase in cartel activity in northern L.A. County is occurring at the same time as violent crime is rising in the metropolitan areas, and the Sheriff's Department is operating with $145 million fewer dollars in its budget. And with this massive number of illegal farms, their biggest issue is the same as anyone who lives in the desert climate, water. Each plant requires 3 gallons of water per day, leading the cartels to steal water from residents and farms. One resident said, I have within a mile probably 4 or 5 illegal pot farms. They've been busted a few times. They're outside. They're not in houses. It's the people behind the drug that's the issue. Everything they're doing to the environment, to the groundwater, they're stealing our water. They had a mile and a half water line that went across the road. They were pumping the water out of, and our water company only services 35 homes. So once the water's gone, it's gone. It's not just that. A lot of these people that live in these hills like to go hike, for example. Recreational, outdoor stuff, you know. One couple described how while hiking in the places they've hiked for years, one of the cartel workers approached and threatened them never to return to the area. They showed them a picture of a truck filled with bullet holes. L.A. or Hell-A, whichever you want to call it. This is them trying to control a criminal enterprise and not paying attention, prioritizing crime and law enforcement and being defunded all at the same time. It is something to behold. And this is all leftist policy at play. Back again next week. Between now and then, do this if you would. Keep your eyes open. Stay aware. This has been Gun Owners News Hour.
Franklin Armory makes top quality AR-style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word lock and load at franklinarmory.com.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard, and when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.